This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. There will be a new representative in Michigan's 63rd State House District next year. The current representative, State House Speaker Jace Bolger, cannot run again because of term limits. One Democrat and two Republicans are running to represent the district, which includes parts of Kalamazoo and Calhoun counties. Marshall School Board President Vic Potter is seeking the Republican nomination for the State House seat, and he joins us. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
We're also joined today by Kalamazoo Gazette reporter Yvonne Zipp.
Thanks so much, Gordon.
And Battle Creek Inquirer reporter Jennifer Bowman.
Thanks for having me.
Vic Potter, why don't you tell the audience a little bit more about yourself and why you're running for State House?
Okay, it's a short presentation. I started my career back in the early 80s at James Rivers Paper Company in Kalamazoo, which is at that time Brown Paper Company. I worked there for 10 years, decided I wanted to be on my own, so I bought Butts Towing Automotive in 1990. Since then, I've become very heavily involved in the community of Marshall and in Calhoun County area. I've been on the Marshall School Board for 12 years, been president 8 of the 12. I'm on the Calhoun County Fair Board. I'm the chairman of the board of the Chamber of Commerce of Marshall. Up until a year and a half ago, I was chairman of the Marshall Township Planning Commission. I moved to the city, so I had to give that one up, even though my business still resides in the township. And I'm a 22-year member of the Marshall Exchange Club, been officer 20 of the 22 years. So I believe in community, and I believe in developing community and children, which is why I like the fair in the school, because our children are future leaders. So, and I own Buzz Toy Automotive, and I'm a small business owner.
Von Zipp of the Kalamazoo Gazette. First question for Vic Potter.
Sure. What's causing you to seek out a statewide position at this time?
I think Marshall has done a lot of collaborative. I know they've done a lot of collaborative efforts. We combined Marshall School, Marshall High School, and Albion High School. Our alternative high school program is now housed at KCC facility at 26 Mile Road, exit 119 and 94. And we reached out and we saved the taxpayers' money. We had a bond issue. We had $300,000 in a bond to build on another room for the alternative high school. We wound up collaborating with Kellogg Community College. And doing that, we can rebate that some of that money back to the community. We also had $800,000 in a bond for a bus garage. We collaborated with Midwest Bus of Marshall, which is a private entity, and that's working out fine. We have our own meters, and otherwise we're getting free office space and things. So we're getting ready within the next 6 months to rebate $800,000 back to the community on the bond. So the biggest reason I'm running is I'm also on the MEDA board. I forgot to mention earlier. And MEDA is LFDA, DDA, and Chamber into one unit for economic development purposes. Well, there again, we had to do a lot of collaboration. We had to break down silos. So I think in Lansing, we got to stop the Democrat-Republican thing so much as what's best for the people and make it work. So I think my collaboration efforts through the years, my leadership resume through the years made me a good candidate.
Jennifer Bowman of the Battle Creek Inquirer.
The Albion-Marshall High School merger was pointed to as a success by some people. Is this something that you support, seeing consolidation when it comes to services, to schools? And if so, what role do you think the state should have in that?
Well, the state needs to set some guidelines, but right now Marshall is the example of doing this. We are looked at up in Lansing as, hey, this worked. We took two economic different communities. We took two racial different communities, and we put the schools together without a hitch. There was a plan in place. The superintendents of both districts got together, had kids together. Albion College participated with us and helped us have a symposium for the students to do things. Star Commonwealth helped us. There again, there was a lot of collaboration. Star Commonwealth, Albion College, KCC, all these people helped us do this. It wasn't just us. But that's my point. If everybody reaches out to each other and works together, this can happen. We have many districts in our Calhoun County alone that are very small districts. And we as a county and state can't afford to pay all these superintendents, all these business managers, and all the things that incorporate into school finance. If we can get the cost cut down and we use our money wisely, the funding isn't as bad as it sounds.
If you were in the state legislature and there are other school districts which are considering some sort of consolidation, what would you want to do to make it easier for them, or what would you want to do to perhaps provide incentives that would allow some more consolidation among school districts?
When we did ours, we went to Lansing and got a grant for $350,000 to keep a couple of advisors on and a couple other things on to help us through this process. So there's grant money, and then it's in the budget this year also, not necessarily for us, but for other districts who decide to do this. And Marshall started that, and it's in the budget again this year. So you have to work with the individual districts that want to do it, but there is ways of doing it, and we've proved it, and there's money for it.
Yvonne?
I wanted to ask you about the Detroit Free Press. It has a big investigation on charter schools, and given your background with education, I wanted to find out what your view would be regarding the need for perhaps further transparency or further oversight. National Heritage Academies, for example, according to the press, would qualify as, you know, the second largest school district in Michigan. And right now the Free Press is finding that perhaps the transparency is not what taxpayers might think it would be. So, you know, if you got into the State House, would you take a look at charter schools? Or do you have concerns?
I already have concerns of charter schools. And most of it is they don't have the same standards we have. That's the main concern. The charter schools are here for a reason. They're here because public schools didn't do their job. So if public schools did their job in the first place, they wouldn't be here. But that being said, they're here on taxpayer dollars without the same mandates. So that needs to change. They need to be apples to apples. And in the meantime, if the districts get strong and do what they're supposed to do, I hate to use the word force out, but you can. It's a competitive world. So raise yourself above the competition, but as long as it's fair competition.
Jennifer?
Roads. Would you support an increase in taxes or fees to get the funding we need for improvements, or what's your plan?
I have different plans, and I won't say plans. I'll say I have different things to look at. There's been a lot of people spend a lot of time on this road issue, and I'm not privy to all the stuff that they've had to be privy to. So I'm not going to sit here and be a professor of something that I'm not sure about. But I will tell you, I believe that we should take the sales tax on the gas pump and put it to the roads instead of the general fund. And I believe the voters should have an opportunity to vote on a 1% tax sales tax increase. And then in that way, the voters have a right to have a say in what's going on. And I think that would be a lot easier to swallow if they had a choice. The other thing I think is we need to reform some other things. And I don't know how far we want to get into this, but we need to reform welfare. We need to call it workfare. We need to have people quit living off entitlements and being generational about it. We need to start realigning some money that's going in the wrong places and put it to the roads instead of, I don't care if a person's on welfare, and there's some people who need it, there's people who lost their job, there's a lot of different reasons. But when it becomes generational, and it becomes that you're on it for 10 years, 12 years, when you start having children from five different dads, and you start having these kids and these kids, why are we paying for all that? That money could be going to roads. We got to realign some things, and we got to make people got to have self-esteem. They have reason to get up in the morning, and these entitlements don't give that to them.
Well, we've gone a little bit off roads.
The funding is the money you can save on one end, you can put to the roads. That's what I'm trying to get to.
Okay. How do you then determine who it is that is truly needy from those who may be, I guess, as you see it, gaming the system?
Well, for lack of a better word, gaming the system. I don't know how you determine that. I'm not an expert. I do know this. If you have generations on welfare, it's a way of life more than a need. And I know that if you get out and do something, I'm going to give you an example. There's a potential of a plant coming to Marshall that they want to grow peppers. It's a greenhouse plant. I don't know if it's going to come or not, but they're thinking about it. They want to hire 150 laborers. So my point is, okay, they say that there's not a workforce. Okay, there is a workforce. The welfare office is the workforce. They become the employment agency. You go to the welfare office, I need 150 people. And they should be able to round up 150 people and get them over to you. Because there's 150 people that are probably able to work that aren't working.
Well, are they able, though, to do the job that these employers need done? Do they have the right training and those sort of things? Because that's one of the big complaints about that you'll hear from employers is that the workforce here is not well-trained for a lot of the jobs they need.
My role on the META board, we've already talked about this. One of the things you do in that regard, first of all, it's labor. These are laborer jobs, so those can be trained fairly easy. The other thing you can do, Marshall is already doing this. We're doing career-ready versus college-ready at high school level. And we have industry come in once a year. We had 25 of them not this last month that came in and showed their wares and how they do things. and what to expect. The thing you can do, let's say Eaton's or let's say Stryker's over here in Kalamazoo, let's say they hire 8 people that don't have college degrees and need to be trained. Give them a tax break on those 8 people for the first year. And then the student who gets trained to do those signs a 5-year contract because he got a free education. And so the person, the company got what they wanted. They trained the people the way they wanted them. The people are working and they're off the rolls and they're producing to the society. And they got a small tax break for doing it. So
this is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We're speaking with Vic Potter. He is a candidate for State House in Michigan's 63rd District, which includes both Kalamazoo and Calhoun counties, or parts thereof. He's the president of the Marshall School Board. We're also joined by Jennifer Bowman of the Battle Creek Inquirer and Kalamazoo Gazette reporter Yvonne Zip. Yvonne?
I wanted to ask, you're talking a little bit about generational welfare.
Mm-hmm.
What about the children? I mean, is it just too bad you lost the parent lottery?
I wouldn't say that. I would say what you have to keep in mind is you got to break the cycle somewhere, somehow. So somehow you need to instill into the family model that this is not a way of life, or it's not a way of life that's going to prosper you down the road. So it doesn't happen overnight, is what I'm trying to say. You got to start leaning towards it and working towards it. If you never work towards it, you never get it.
Jennifer?
Would you have supported a hike in the minimum wage when Lansing voted on it?
I would not have. My philosophy on that is let private industry and private business do their thing. There is a minimum wage law, and it's been there for years. All you're doing, in my mind, some of the minimum wage jobs, as McDonald's and Burger King's and the different things, were set up on the intent of high schoolers and early college kids having incomes. They weren't made for career jobs, unless you're in management or something. The problem is, you start raising all this stuff, they're going to raise the price of their goods, and you're going to have a zero net effect, if not worse than that. So all you're going to do is drive the prices up. And I'm not sure that minimum wage is going to cover the price increases of all this stuff.
Do you think there should be no minimum wage?
I think the minimum wage has been set a long time ago. I think there should needs to be. Yes, I think there should be a minimum wage. But I don't think it should be keep getting raised by people that don't understand business.
Yvonne?
I wanted to ask your views on possibly decriminalizing marijuana, maybe not legalizing, but you know, would you support the decriminalization of it?
I'd have to see more facts and figures on that. On the surface, I would say yes, I support that because we have way too much court time and prison times and stuff. Our prison costs are way, way high in Michigan, and I don't know how much quite a bit of it is due to different issues of drugs. And I have mixed feelings on that because I own a towing company, and we tow a lot of cars from the highway that have a lot of drugs in them that's going to different communities that I hate to see happen. But if you're a dealer, that's one thing. If you're just got a personal use amount with you, that's another thing.
Jennifer?
Medical marijuana. It's been approved by voters.
Mm-hmm.
And where do you stand on that? Do you think that should be allowed? Do you think there's enough access for those who have a medical marijuana card?
I think there is. And quite frankly, it doesn't matter what I think. The voters voted in. So
do you think the state should be putting any more restrictions on it, any more regulations, or do you think where things stand right now, it should be allowed to play out?
I think it should be allowed to play out.
Vic Potter, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Vic Potter is a candidate for State House in Michigan's 63rd District. That includes parts of both Kalamazoo and Calhoun counties. He's also currently the president of the Marshall School Board. And we want to thank Battle Creek Inquirer reporter Jennifer Bowman.
Thank you.
And Kalamazoo Gazette reporter Yvonne Zip.
Thanks, Gordon.
Longer versions of the interviews on West to Southwest can be found at WMUK.org. This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.